Well, we certainly have, as Ken has said before this podcast started, an eclectic group of people here, and it's kind of the Beatles, you know. We've always sort of, you know, met beforehand, but this is finally all of us getting together for the first time, doing all this work on Japan. And again, I'm very happy to have everyone here. Robert Reed Jr., as you guys may know him as the main man for Mohawk, but he also does a lot of work for us too for Japan. Candice. My favorite woman from TVG that used to be from TVG, and then obviously now helping us out, and as one of our Japan experts that we have here, and then finally the main man, who my German brother from another mother, Alan Carazo. Thanks, guys, for joining us.
Thanks, Foss.
Thanks.
Always a pleasure to be here.
All right, so let's just get into this. You know, obviously it's a big weekend of racing. I just want to get everyone's sort of, you know, initial thoughts on the race. You know, I guess for the most part, this is kind of the sending off of Contrail, if you will, in here. But, you know, will he go in a blaze of glory a la Almond Eye last year, or will he go down in flames and, you know, someone sort of upset the apple cart, if you will? What are your thoughts, Rob?
Well, listen, for me, I'm excited about this race, and especially because it is his swan song, and I think it'd be fitting if he went out a winner, because, you know, being the runner-up last year and being such a great racehorse, I mean, I don't want to get into my pick already, because Klaus is probably going to call me a chalk-eating weasel, because that's who I do like in the race. I love Contrail, and yeah, listen, I'm excited to see the race as a whole, and my main man Christophe Lemaire's got a live ride in there as well. But for me, it really starts and ends with Contrail and going out a winner. That's what I want to see.
So, Candice, are you in the same boat, or were you kind of thinking with the races on a whole?
I mean, he obviously is the storyline. I spoke about it with our last race with Grand Allegria, that typically these big-name horses in Japan do often go out winners, certainly more than any other major jurisdiction I can think of. So you have a lot up against you, because you know he's going to be fit and ready to roll in this race. But I really am liking the competitive nature of this race. I don't think this is any sort of a slam dunk for Contrail. And so I do think there are some betting opportunities there. So you guys know me. It takes a lot for me to pick a favorite. So I'm certainly trying to pick my holes there in the Contrail argument.
Yeah, I know this won't be a case of all of us going with Pixie Night this night, that's for sure. So yeah, we'll certainly have some selections. And last but not least, Al, what's your thoughts on the race of
here? I'm going to scroll through the PPs. Where's Pixie Night? Because if he's in here, I'm going to, you know, I mean, he'll win if it were half the distance, he could win the race.
Okay? Certainly.
Yeah, I mean, Contrail is a deserving favorite, and he's got every chance to go out the winner. He's got every right to move forward off the 10-0 show. That race was first off a 7-month layoff, and you know what he lacks for me. I mean, I think he's the one they have to go through. He lacks a certain killer instinct. He had every chance. I mean, maybe race fitness was an issue last time, but he had every chance to run with Euphoria late, and Euphoria just a little fresher, and just finish it off just a tick better than he did. So, listen, he's got the right to go better here. But I couldn't knock anybody for trying to beat him off.
I think that's the question here too, that, you know, I've had as well. And again, we'll get into our selections a little bit later. But I think the question is that I've sort of just kind of come to realize is that, you know, that this 3-year-old crop is pretty good. Like I originally at the start of the year, I was like, you know, yeah, they look pretty good, you know. And then we saw sort of Dan and the Kid not really do that much in his, you know, first race coming back. But then, you know, you see some prime efforts. You know, I put. I know that's, you know, for me at least, you know, I'd probably rank, again, this is just me being biased, but I think, you know, in my opinion, that's, you know, Euphoria is probably one of the best 3-year-olds in the world right now, in terms of, you know, at least based on that effort last time at the 10-0 show, and then what he did, obviously, winning the Satsuki show by 3+ lengths and pretty much in a canter, and then, losing it by a dirty nose. And I know Robert, you know, I spoke about this on not by ad nauseum about how the heck did Euphoria lose that Derby. So yeah
it still hurts, Klaus. It still hurts. That was one that it hurt in the you know, in the picks department, but it hurt more so with the pocketbook, because that was there was a lot of you know, multi-leg wagers on the line that night, and I still don't know how he lost. I thought he actually got the job done, but c'est la vie.
Yeah, so again, you know, the 3-year-olds are here, and you know, Alan, I know that's part of the story too, and one that you're sort of looking at is Uberleben, who, you know, she just seems to be one of those horses that's, you know, is kind of an enigma, if you will. Like she puts up big efforts when she races at Tokyo, or you know, distances that are probably, you know, longer than, you know, the mile and a quarter she's been racing at. But you know, and now she gets back to Tokyo where she won the Oaks, pretty well. Again, more of a kind of workmanlike effort from her, but she's still putting a pretty good effort in the Oaks.
Yeah, I mean, certainly Akatori and Musume came back and franked the form of that race in the Shuko Show. And, you know, I heard today that Uberleben had a leg issue out of the Oaks, and that may have explained somewhat her effort last time. She's there or thereabouts every single time. And maybe most importantly, she's going to get 9 pounds in the weights with weight allowance and sex allowance. And certainly that could be impactful in a race like this. I mean, you know, let's forgive her the Shuka Show. Let's draw a line through it. You know, there's no reason she can't be right there.
Yeah, certainly. I think that she definitely deserves a look. And Candice, is Charrier, is he in your top five right now, do you think, in terms of where you stand with him? Or is, you know, obviously he had that kind of weird race last time out, coming into this, as you know, obviously they're kind of deciding what they want to do with him, but you know, are you willing to throw out the soft turf excuse last time out?
Definitely am. I mean, he wasn't bred to like wet ground, and I think he showed it there. It would be really nice to own a horse who you're like, man, he hates the ground. He finished fourth in the group two. That's a testament to how good he is. But yeah, you guys went on at length about Euphoria, and it's funny because we talk about the three-year-olds as a whole, but I'm a believer that the three-year-old male crop is very, very good, and that the three-year-old female crop maybe isn't as good as their male counterparts. So I definitely rate Charyar the best of the youngsters in this race, and I have no problem checking out that fourth place performance. Obviously, he's done very well here at Tokyo as he won the Japanese Derby. So one to keep an eye on. I think the biggest thing about him, too, is how lightly raced he is. This is a horse who's probably already good enough to win, and any improvement is very much possible. He's only making the sixth start of his career. It's something to keep in mind. I think his bet ability in this race is going to depend on how short Contrail is. If Contrail gets hammered, a horse like Charyar might be an overlay. You know, if you're looking to bet him, I'd be looking at 9 to 2, 5 to 1, I think it's very fair. So I think his odds are really going to depend on how short our favorite is, but he's one to keep an eye on, at least when you get close to post sign on where is he sitting on the odds board, because he definitely has a chance.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And, you know, there are, obviously are a few wild cards in here as well in the form of the Europeans. So I think we all can agree that, you know, for the most part, the European contingent going to Japan, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but for the most part, in the last 5 years, there hasn't really been a strong contingent that have gone over to face the best in Japan. But this year, actually, I got to say, it's a much better contingent. Aidan O'Brien sitting two in the form of Japan and Broom. And then also, you know, they have the French filly coming over as well from her effort in the opera, which is, again, she looks pretty good. She looks fresh. So, you know, I don't know. Does anyone have any opinions on the Euros and their chances here? Obviously, Broom comes in off of an effort that, you know, was making me cry, because I had bet a lot of money on Broom in the Breeders' Cup Turf. And when Rad Ortiz made that move, I'm like, cash in the money. All right. And then sure enough, the move falls short. And sure enough, you know, your beer comes and steals my cash. So anyways, that race was over.
I mean, Broom was a winner, and I had it booked as a winner too. And then somehow he gets beat. It's interesting because I've read conflicting reports. Maybe you guys will know the real answer. I mean, I obviously thought that Ryan Moore had his choice of the two Aidan O'Brien horses, but then some owners, the owners of Japan, I think, said that actually Yutaka Taki actually had his choice, which would be really cool, actually, if Japan ever, I mean, to me, that's the Disney story, isn't it? That Japan's most famous jockey wins on a horse named Japan in the Japan Cup. I don't know. I just thought that literally, like, if you were to write a Disney movie about the Japan Cup, that would be what, you know, is some other plot in between. But
there's the angle. Cool. Let's stop the podcast now. That's it. That's over.
Yeah. I just, I don't know. When I was, you know, looking at this field, I said, wow, if that ever happened, that's the Disney movie ending. But for me, I thought that Broom raced fantastic, even in defeat. I thought he was going to win and maybe you know, should have won. But the more I watched that replay, I thought Yabir just was incredible with that late kick. And I don't know. I think that, you know, you look at the stats on the European horses in this race. Yeah, certainly it's not good. But I think that they might have one of their best chances with Broom. And I think he's going to be a pretty good price. Maybe not so much in the North America pools, because I think a familiar name might get some action. I usually find that is the case. But I think he should be every bit of, you know, 20 to 1 or something in Japan.
Yeah, I agree. That's definitely worth a look. But yeah, you're right. The names Japan, Broom, it will certainly drive our odds down here. But you know what? That could also mean that, you know, customers horse players playing the race will get better odds on Japanese horses in this case. And that's usually what happens, right? So to Candace's point, I think that's a perfect example where, you know, you may get Sharir or Authority or one of the other top contenders that are one of the Japanese-based horses that may drift up to, you know, odds that are much better than what they are in Japan. And that's kind of the beauty of having, you know, the B pools and the different pools across the world. Alan, do you know much about the French filly coming into the race in terms of Grand Glory?
I'm glad that you read my mind here, because I think in a lot of ways she's the most intriguing of the three shippers. It's hard to knock her recent French form. The Prix Jean Romanet was an excellent effort, beating Audaria and just missing it in the Opera. To me, it's fascinating that they would send her for a race like this over a distance, which is certainly a question mark for her. Where she would have been very, very interesting against the likes of Le Papale in Hong Kong in a few weeks. I thought a 2,000 on a fast turf course for her, even though she's obviously gone through softer ground in France, I find it fascinating in a sense that she's here. At the same time, I'm curious if she can match up with these going this far, you know, at this level. So she's intriguing, but I would definitely be against her.
Yeah, and I guess the question too is that, you know, like, I guess Rougier came out of that race and in the Philly Mare Turf, and like, I don't remember. I remember, you know, her getting a few calls in the race, but I don't remember her having any sort of impact in the race either.
Right.
So. Okay. So I think what we do is just we'll kind of go through and just give everyone's thoughts, you know, in terms of selections for the race. You know, a horse you like, a long shot that's kind of maybe caught your interest, and then one horse you're going to be willing to take a stand against in this race. And then as well, if you want to just give your overall thoughts on the race and just, you know, some other, if you want to have if you have a multiple options or opinions in here, certainly let us know, because, you know, people are gonna be listening to this and gonna, you know, take that opinions with them, and hopefully I can help them out the window. So Rob, how about we start with you, and we'll kind of go from there.
Sure. Okay. So for me, listen, I already kind of tipped my hand. It's Contrail for me. I think he goes out a winner, and I think that, you know, Japan would be the Disney movie ending, but I think for Japan racing, is Contrail winning this race. And I think that what Candace said was spot on too, is that a lot of these horses go out winners in the last race of their career, and I don't think that a horse as great as he is going to actually go down in defeat. So I have him likely as odds on. That's what I'm thinking he's going to go off at. He might be 4 to 5, maybe even money. I hate picking the favorite on top. I find, though, in these stake races in Japan, I usually do side with the favorite, but everywhere else in the card, I'm generally searching for prices. So for me, it's Contrail. Now, oddly enough, so the first two horses you spoke about are the two horses that I'm fading in the race, which is just wild. I was actually going to jump in earlier and say it. But Überleben, you know, a German name, right? I mean, I know, Klaus, you've loved that horse in the past. Three-year-old filly coming back off a tendon injury. A little bit underwhelming since then. I know one thing about promoting race horses. Now, that was standardbreds, not thoroughbreds. Tendon injuries are never, you know, horses sometimes don't come back the same. So I'm a little bit concerned with her chances. I've loved her in the past, but for me, she was one that I was going to be leaving off my tickets. The other one actually is and I'm probably going to butcher the name, is Sharia, who beat Aphoria, maybe just because I'm so angry about it. But I know everyone kind of will say, well, you know, good three-year-old crop can go against older horses. I'm actually going to take a stand against him, because I do believe he's going to take a lot more support than we might believe. I think he might be as low as 5 to 2 in this race, maybe a shade higher. So for me to get any kind of value at all, I've got to go with Contrail over a bigger price. So I'm actually going to leave those two off my tickets, and I'm going to look for Authority, who I think will probably be third or fourth choice, most likely third choice, with my man Christophe Lemaire. And that's the one I'll probably zero in on behind Contrail for a longer price. Well, I kind of like Broom. I don't know. I think that, you know, Ryan Moore, Aidan O'Brien, not a lot of success, you know, for European runners in this race over the years, but I think this is one of their better chances. I really believe that. And I thought the effort in the Breeders' Cup turf was you know, a pretty solid one. And I think it might stack up against this field. So I guess for me, I just said a lot, Contrail over Authority and Broom. And sentimentally, I'm hoping Japan wins.
You've been reading too many of those bedtime stories to Robbie there, Rob. So yeah,
that's the way I'm going to write it, anyways. When I tell
all right, all right, okay, all good, all good. So any other thoughts on the race itself, Robert? You kind of just covered off what you were explaining.
That's really how I feel. But I mean, the one thing I will say for playing into the pools we play in here, and I mean, I know you guys saw it last week, is that high five wager paid ridiculously well. I mean, it was it ran out pretty much as logical as it could be, and it paid you know, $1,000 or 20 cents. So even if you do like the favorite Contrail, there's opportunities to create value, whether it be in multi-leg wagers or bets like the high five.
Yeah, you're right. And then we also have weeks like the QE2 where a 70-1 shot finishes first. It was, I think, 16-1 shot, and then a 35-1 shot finishing third. So there you go. So, you know, you have obviously the predictable form in Japan, but then you also have those days where it's just like WTF. So, yeah.
That's how I feel sometimes when you send me the past performances and I'm doing them early in the morning and I'm looking at the newcomer races and I'm like, what do I do here?
Yeah, and again, that's all. We'll sort of look at that, the four of us next year, in terms of, you know, obviously how to help some of our horse players out with some of those races and where to look and, you know, things to look at. So, yeah, and certainly it's never an easy chore for any of us to do selections for these races, especially when you have no form guides, no workouts to go by. I think Candace probably has some secret things that she's not telling us about some of her selections, but that's okay. That's okay. Anyways, speaking of Candace, I should have said ladies first, so I apologize, Candace. That's not very gentlemanly of me, but what are your thoughts on the race? And we'll go from there.
I don't know. I feel like now I need to keep all the secrets to myself, so maybe I'll just leave it out there. I understand the adoration for Contrail, and he definitely is the one to beat. My concern, I suppose, is I honestly think he's had a pretty down year by his standards. Obviously, there have been some issues there, but I don't think that this is the Contrail we saw last year. I don't think he improved the way that I would have liked for him to. And I think races of his that looked good at the time don't now. Like his loss to Le Papale at the time looked great, but the bubble has kind of burst there, and I don't think that form line has held up at all. So I think he's vulnerable in this race, or at least vulnerable at the price. I mean, Robert was saying even money. To be frank, if you like him, even money's probably a gift. I'm thinking more 3 to 5, 4 to 5, just because he is very well known in North America. You know, he's been publicized over every wagering platform that I know of. So it helps if you don't love him in here. And so I'm going to try to beat him. And it's not a horse that you guys haven't mentioned. I like Broom in this race a lot. It's, you know, strange to say because typically Europeans haven't done well here, but he reminds me, and I don't know if this is a positive for him or not, but he reminds me a lot of Idaho, who you might remember ran in this race in 2017, finished fifth. At the time, I thought it was a pretty good effort for Idaho, who was really on the downward kind of spiral. He didn't come into that race in fantastic form, maybe aside from the arc, if you want to say that was a good effort for his level. But Broom is the opposite. Broom has really started to find his stride. I thought his effort at Del Mar, you could arguably say, is the best run of his career. So he's coming into this race on a nice upward swing. I don't mind at all that Ryan is aboard him. Obviously, he knows the horse, and he's always ridden very, very well in Japan as well. So I think there are plenty of positives there for Broom, but I do think that Del Mar race, that was a big sign for me, because obviously in America, we know we run at tempo, and they do in Japan as well. And I think, you know, Alan mentioned the French mare, who I agree with him is probably the most interesting European contender, but I highly doubt her ability to run at the tempo she's going to need to run out here in Japan. I don't doubt that for Broom. So I'm going to go with him as my top selection. I mean, if he's 20-1, as some of the Japanese markets have him, by all means, please hop aboard. I don't think we're going to get that. But if we could get maybe 10, I think that's doable. And that would be a fantastic price for him. Fair odds Broom on my kind of fair odds morning line that I do, I had him at 7. So just throwing that out there. As far as long shots go, I have a lot of time in here for Sanrei Pocket. I loved his effort last time out in the Tennille Show Autumn. He finished 4th in that race. This is a horse who is kind of like the plotter of all plotters, but sometimes in these big races, they're the kinds of horses you love underneath. Robert mentioned that Super High Five. That's the kind of horse I'd use in a Super High Five. He's going to be a ginormous price because nobody really knows who he is, and he has several kind of off-the-board efforts in a row, but they were honest efforts, and I do think this race from a pace perspective could shape up in favor of him. So it's going to be Broom as my top selection, and Sanrei Pocket if you're looking for a crazy horse to add in your Super High Five.
And I guess, Candice, you're taking that stand against Contrail as well, is what I understand.
Yes.
All right, Alan, up to you. Are you all in on the filly? Are you with Team Survivor? Just so you guys know, Uberleben means Survivor in German, so that's why I'm saying Team Survivor. So yeah.
I don't think I'm with her. I'm not strongly against her, but I mean, I have to say, Candice, you've opened my eyes a little bit to Broom. I just, in my heart of hearts, I don't think he's good enough, but it's hard to fault his form, really. I mean, you obviously forgive him for the run in the arc. Deep Bond had his soft time of it from the front in the foie, so you kind of give him that one as well. He's not so bad. The run behind Adayar is not bad either, and certainly his run at Del Mar was obviously very good. Where is he? 25 right now, Candice. So you would take that, I guess.
I would. You know, and it's tricky because I think Alan looks at him similarly to I do in that when you cover international racing, a horse like Broom is very exposed, right? We know exactly what he is. And sometimes I think those horses, we knock him as like, it's Broom. But and I think on the contrary, sometimes we really romanticize the Japanese horses who we haven't seen go elsewhere, and we don't really know how good they are against the international field. Not to say they aren't the best, but I do think it is something that when you cover this international scene, definitely horses like him, it's like, okay, it's Broom. I mean, he is what he is. But what he is, maybe it's good enough, maybe.
He's going to sweep by them all.
Oh, all right. He's here all week, folks.
So, I mean, I don't think this is the greatest renewal of the Japan Cup we've ever seen. I haven't been a crazy big fan of Contrail. I was against him and with Gran Alegria first off the layoff, and then everything went against everybody with the ground except Le Papale. You know, obviously that race threw him for a loop. You know, it's arguably he was short of his best in the Tenno show. His work, and I have to give credit to our man Grant Pavey, who posts these uphill woodchip works. And I mean, he did look spectacular in his final fast during the week. And I think 100% Contrail, I think he can beat these. I'm going to give you a crazy horse that I think could shake things up, particularly for a high five. Kiseki made the running last year, and he went super hard. He went faster than 110, I think 109 and change for the opening 1,200. And I know he can be a little bit headstrong and like that, but if he were able to get out there and get a fairly soft time of it, who knows how far he could take him in a race that I don't know where the actual true pace is coming from. So he's going to be something around 30, 35. I think they're crazier ideas for something underneath. And I too like Sanrei Pocket, also by Derby winner, Jungle Pocket. But I thought his run in the Tenno show was full of merit. He got home pretty well. You know, Euphoria was 33 flat, Contrail was 33.1, and Sanrei Pocket was something around 33.6, like fifth fastest home. So and you can argue that the 2400 will be better for him than the 2000. I could see him crashing the top four, top five as well. But I guess I have a hard time picking against Contrail against what I think is a fairly moderate bunch for the Japan Cup.
Yeah, I think we can all agree, Alan, that this is not a, you know, obviously stellar rendition, but, you know, hey, I think there is, what, 4 Derby winners in here? So that's crazy to see. And, you know, I think if this is North America, they'd just be like, what is going on here? You know, I think the last Derby winner in that race past 4 was maybe Funny Side that I can think of at the top of my head. You know, I don't know. And that's only because he's gelding. So, you know, it's just it's crazy to see, you know, the likes of Makahiki, who's like 8 years old, who won a great 2 last time out. And I'm just like, man, this guy's still going, you know. Take it for what it's worth. I know people will see like grade 2 win by Makahiki and go, well, that's great. But I think we need to look back at the form lines for him and be like his best or, you know, probably 5 years ago. So, yeah. So certainly, yeah, once some interesting horses in the race and some interesting storylines. And like Robert mentioned, you have Japan running in Japan and, you know, some Aiden O'Brien connections there as well as the filly. So, you know, and then obviously the 3-year-olds. In terms of my selections, I'm actually going to Authority for me. This is one colt I followed throughout his whole career. For those listening that don't know, this is, you know, his mom is by Cesario. So it kind of has that sort of Cesario bloodline into him. He's touted as kind of the co top choice as a 2-year-old and 3-year-old along the lines of Contrail and Salios. He's had numerous setbacks with injuries and especially foot problems. He's had a ton of foot problems throughout his whole career. So he looks to be getting well again. I usually do this with him all the time. I'll roll the dice and go ahead and select him, but he lets me down a lot of times. But this is one time where I'm going to go all in with him. 3 for 4 at Tokyo. So he certainly loves racing at Tokyo. So I'm going to go with Authority and steal Robert's main man, Christophe Lemaire, there as the go-to guy. So nothing wrong with that. I am against Contrail. I'll play a little bit probably with the Derby champ. But for the most part, I'm going to stick with Authority. For a long shot selection in here, man, can't speak today. He's not really a long shot. He'd probably be more of a middle shot. But, you know, with the way the North American markets are, he may get pushed up in there, and that's Aristoteles. So another one who just, you know, was kind of in, I know you spoke to it last year about, and I think both Alan, you and Candace sort of spoke to, you know, is the form from last year all that great? Aristoteles is one of the, what I thought would be, you know, a star on the scene this year, but he hasn't done much. He's kind of, you know, ran in spurts and shown up here and there. So I'm going to take another chance with him. Again, he is a son of Epiphania, and Candace and I had a discussion before about how much I love offspring of Epiphania. So his dad won this in 2014, so I'm hoping he can somehow spring a shocking upset on Saturday with that one there. So those are my 2, and again, I am also going against Contrail. So we've all kind of given our selections, and it's interesting we've all sort of landed on different horses, which is good, as opposed to all of us jumping on the same horse. I just want to give a chance for anyone to kind of give us any more, you know, some last-minute thoughts before we do our quick draw and give away some cool prizes.
I think the last thing I would say is that I totally see Alan's argument for Kaseki on the front end. Legitimately, when I was going through this field, the first thing I thought was, what are the chances this guy's going to be winging it out there on the leading end? It's totally plausible. And as he says, it is a race that is really lacking in front end speed. So I can see where he's coming from in that one.
Do you guys know what Kaseki translates to?
No.
No?
Lone front runner.
Nope. Miracle, but I don't think it's going to take a miracle for him to win. So I think he's a bit of an outsider, but yeah, translates to miracle. What I think is really cool about this is that, you know, when, you know, groups like us come together, we didn't talk about this beforehand, right? We didn't kind of say, hey, you pick this one. Literally, it just shows how in horse racing and gambling, there's so many different opinions. And, you know, some people can be right, some people can be wrong, but they're still valid opinions, right? And I kind of like that 2 of us are on Contrail and 2 of us aren't. And there's kind of a lot of longer prices that are kind of sprinkled in throughout. So I think it's kind of neat. And what I love about the sport is that there's so many different opinions, and on any given day, one person might be right. The next day, the other person might be the winner. So.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Rob. And also the fact that, you know, in Japan, we're treated with the lovely 18 horse fields all the time. So, you know, if you have a strong opinion, you're usually paid for it pretty well because you have 18 other horses. So you're sort of betting the Derby almost every single race in Japan. That's why I talk about it all the time. So, you know, if you have a strong opinion, well, you know, your horse may probably be, you know, 5-2, 2-1 if it's, you know, a heavy favorite in the race. Yeah, we see sometimes where it's a, you know, a even money shot in Japan, but that's really more in the newcomer races and or the, you know, 2-year-olds than anything else. Anything else from you, Al, in terms of last thoughts before we bit it?
No, I mean, I just wanted to, just on the Makeki thing. I mean, not only was he, I mean, he was the 8-year-old winning a Group 2. It was his first win since the Niel in 2016. I mean, the horse had not won. It was 17 starts,
wow,
5 years and what, 5 years and 1 month? Just crazy. But him, you've got Wagnerian drawn out as well. You've got 3 Kaneko Makoto horses wearing good. I mean, God bless Murray Johnson Sunday night, Saturday night. Good luck calling those distinguishing caps. But you've got those 3 horses all in a row, deep in back. You know, it's crazy. Like his first Derby eligible horses were 2011. Since then, he's sired 7 Derby winners. It's pretty fascinating. And now 4 of them, 4 in the last 6 years, those 4 horses show up here. So that is pretty incredible when you think about it.
Yeah, certainly. Again, it's that's all about deep impact, leaving his impact, if you will, on the breed in Japan, and then looking now for the heir apparent, which is you know, will one of these guys be the heir apparent? Maybe, but you know, hey, we'll have to wait and see. All right, guys, I just wanted to again thank everyone for your time and your contributions to this Japan Cup Pod. We'll make sure you do it again. And one last question before we all go, because you know it is going to be next week where we see the unicorn run on the dirt for the first time. So I know it's not Japan Cup, but I'll get everyone's opinion on whether or not Sodashi will make her dirt debut, a winning one in the Champions Cup next week. And we'll start. I'll leave the fan club member to last. So Candace, how about you? What are your thoughts about Sodashi on the dirt next week?
Oh man, I'm gonna say no, only because this is what I always do, right? I try to go against the favorites as much as possible. Obviously, very understandable move. Her mom Buchiko was fantastic on the dirt during her career for her level, so I totally get the move. But I think she's gonna get beaten this time.
All right, Alan, what are your thoughts on?
I'm kind of fine. I mean, I haven't looked at the field yet, so I just wanted to take a quick look. I mean, look, she's got. So she's by Corofune, who's a French deputy. So, I mean, you've got King Mambo on the bottom. So, I mean, the dirt pedigree is there. I mean, visually, from I think it was her last work that Graham posted, she was home 11.9. I mean, she looks like she can get over the surface just fine. She's going to get the weight allowance. She'll get an age allowance. And, I mean, if somebody knows of a dirt monster in there, you tell me. So I certainly can't rule her out.
So she could be the next Marsh Lorraine. And Robert, I know the answer to this question. You don't need to answer that.
Well, me and Al need to hang out because we agree on a lot of things, and he's with me on Sodashi. First of all, where's my plushie? Are we giving a plushie away tonight? And are we going to be just defaulting that to me? Because I'm still looking for a Sodashi plushie. But listen, I'm not going to go against her. And I like the move to the dirt for her, obviously. You know, last time had some issues, she hit the gate, and you know, I'm just gonna make an excuse for her because I love her, and she is a beautiful white sparkling unicorn of a filly, and she's gonna get the job done next week.
I think Amandai agreed with you. I saw her popping in.
What's that?
So Amandai saying hello to everybody. So we are gonna give Amandai away to some lucky. This is the biggie. This is the big one too. This is not the small one. So
oh, wow.
Everyone knows. So these are the jumbo size plushies. So we're gonna give one of those away. We have one Contrail jumbo to give away. So there's 2 of them here. And then because we love you know, gotta take care of the guys around here, we're gonna do a Japan Cup tie, and nice. We'll also do a draw for a Japan Cup hat that, you know. Everyone participating in this panel will also receive a nice Japan Cup hat because next time I can't have Alan wearing a Hong Kong racing hat on. The panel,
so. What else? What else would Alan wear? Really? Come on.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it. Good luck on Saturday, and we'll talk to everyone soon.